Your world, your challenges, your faith. When faith within engages the world without, there's power. It's living life from the inside out.
It's the week before Christmas, and if this is a happy time of year for you, you've probably decorated and baked, and maybe you're looking forward to more gift shopping and wrapping. But maybe, for you or one of your friends, you'd be happier if we could just skip to January. Maybe you hold your breath through the holidays, because for you, this is a sad time of year, a time of grief. And that's what we're going to talk about today on the Family Life Inside Out podcast. I'm Martha Manikas Foster, and my guest is pastor and counselor Jay LaScolia, director of Enrich Counseling. Jay's a former church pastor and broadcaster and a news colleague here at Family Life. Welcome back to Family Life, Jay, and to Inside Out.
Martha, it's good to be back. I remember not too long ago, you and I working in the newsroom together. So it's really, really good to be back at Family Life.
I am looking forward to this conversation, partly because of all of your various experiences, because I think for some people, it might still be kind of new news that the holiday season, that Christmas, that Advent can be a time of grief for people. So could you just kind of give us the lay of the land? Why is this a hard time of year for so many people?
You know, for so many, it's not a Merry Christmas. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll greet each other and say Merry Christmas. But for many, it's a very difficult time of year, like you said, because it's a reminder of what they've lost. I think so often, you know, I'll hear from people, whether it be in counseling sessions or just people that I talk to, that they dread as the calendar gets closer and closer to Thanksgiving and Christmas and even New Year's, mm-hmm. because they're reminded of who's not there, the empty chair, so to speak.
So it's almost like the flip side of the wonderful family traditions, right? We like to develop, especially when our kids are little, some great family traditions, but the underside of that, or the flip side of that coin, is that when we've developed some traditions, when we're gone, someone else is gone from that group, then it's painful, right?
It is. And I think there's grief not only in missing the person, but grief in missing out on the tradition or what was done for year after year after year. And I want to just say, grief is not only, you know, the death of a loved one. This time of year can be difficult for people who have lost their jobs. Mm-hmm. You know, job loss is a form of grief. Others, maybe there was a geographical change and they're moving away, or somebody moved away. Mm-hmm. And again, not going to be part of that family tradition or part of the joy that they once experienced at the holidays.
Mm-hmm. You and I both know that many churches have services this month for those who are grieving. But by now, the week before Christmas, most of those have already happened. How do you recommend that grieving people find a way through to Christmas and into the new year now that we're looking just a week before Christmas? And while grief and lament are righteous and they're real, how might being a follower of Jesus Christ make a difference for the person who finds this time of year difficult?
Well, I want to say, Martha, I think some people, because it is Christmas and it's a joyous time of year, may feel badly that they're grieving. Mm. There may even be some shame. Mm. Shame is not of God. God did not give us shame. We need to be real and honest with the way we're feeling and share with people close to us and loved ones and say, hey, I'm struggling. I'm always fascinated. You know, Jesus grieved when his best friend Lazarus died. Mm-hmm. And he knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead.
Right.
But it shows us that he was so in touch with the way we felt or feel, because he, in you know, he's fully God, fully human. In the human part, he feels what we feel. And I really do believe God grieves with us. So first of all, turn to God. Turn to God in this time, because he is there and he's reminding us of the greatest gift he gave us and the hope of eternal life, right? Mm-hmm. Death has been defeated at the cross. Mm-hmm. So the hope is through Jesus, and he came and gave himself, Emmanuel, God with us, on that very first Christmas, that very first gift. So turn to God, turn to others close to you. You know, just share. Go out for a cup of coffee or get together. Don't isolate yourself. Mm. You may feel like you want to be alone. Don't isolate yourself. There's healing in community. There's healing in the love of others. There will be people, hopefully, that will invite you to take part in their traditions. And be honest with them. You may say, I'm going to be raw here.
Right.
This may be the first holiday. This may be the second. And I think the second year is often harder than the first year of holiday traditions that your loved one is no longer there and missing out with. But be real with them and allow them in. And I think even get in with a counselor or your pastor. I know it's a busy time of year. It's the week before Christmas. But you may want to do that or definitely get on their calendar for after Christmas.
Right.
As a pastor and counselor, we typically see an increase in counseling after we get through New Year's, the month of January typically.
Well, that's good to know, and great, great counsel. Well, let me reintroduce you, Jay. For those who are just joining us today on the Family Love Inside Out podcast, we're talking about holiday grief. My guest is pastor and counselor Jay LaScoglia. Jay, the way friends and family interact with someone who's grieving this time of year might help or could really hurt how a person walks through the season. You've kind of alluded to that already. What are some things you suggest are not helpful for friends or family to say?
I always believe that friends and family are always, they love the person, they mean well.
Sure.
But until you've walked in their shoes, it's hard to understand what they're going through. And I think there's a difference between, I know there's a difference between sympathy and empathy. And I would encourage all of us to walk more in empathy. And that's walking side by side with them. That's saying, let me help lift you up. Let me help bear your burden, right? We're to bear each other's burdens.
Sure.
Sympathy is more of, well, I feel bad for you and have pity on you. That's not what a person needs. They need that shoulder they can cry on, that person that can help walk with them. I also believe, and this is often, you know, we'll see this when a believer passes away. One of the things that we want to be careful of is right after their passing to say this phrase, well, you know, at least they're in heaven. We can hold on to that promise. Even though that is true for the believer, and there is a time to say that, immediately after someone passes, I really believe they just need to hear, I'm sorry, I'm here for you. What can I do? I love you.
Yeah. Well, let's jump right off from that. What are some of the best ways then? We know kind of what we ought not to do, things maybe we should be careful about saying, but what are the best ways for friends and family to show the compassion they have for the grieving person? And is that any different at Christmas than it is at any other time when people are grieving?
And that's a really good point, Martha. It tends to come out and it's in the spotlight around the holidays, but this should be all year round. Remember, somebody who's lost a loved one to death, you know, somebody that has passed away, the remaining family members, they're still stuck in that moment. You know, so often we'll hear and we'll see family will come around an individual and friends will come around an individual to support someone who may have lost their spouse for, you know, the days, the weeks, and maybe the first few months after.
Right.
But they're still going through the process even 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years, years after. So it's important to be sensitive to that. And so often we like to kind of put things in packages, right? Even with emotions, we like to put things in neat little bows and move on. There is no time frame to grief. Again, there is no time frame. And you can't tell an individual, well, it's been a year already. You need to get over it.
Yeah, right? Look at your watch and say, it's over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way.
Right.
You know, the stages of grief, the five stages of grief, and it just kind of hit me with that first year for most people, they're still in the shock and denial stage. And then you get to the anger stage. And really, anger is sadness coming out sideways for people. Anger usually is always rooted in, or a lot of the time, I should say, rooted in sadness. Then there's stage three, which can be bargaining. Well, you know, it's people will bargain with God. Well, God, if you, you know, take this pain away, you know, I'll do this, or help me here, you know, I'll do this. Or they'll bargain with others. And then you can get into the depression stage. People will misunderstand and think that if an individual's withdrawing and wanting to be by themselves, really struggling over the loss, that it's clinical. It's not always clinical. This is a normal stage in the grief process. Watch it. Watch them closely, especially if they start going into not wanting, you know, making statements of not wanting to live.
Right.
You know, it can easily turn into suicidal if not watching it closely. But then the fifth stage is just accepting. When they get to the accepting stage, that's when the new normal starts. And people can move on to whatever life looks like.
And like you said, so if it's a whole year or more in the first stage, you're not going to get to the next Christmas or Thanksgiving or birthday already processed to the point of new normal.
No.
Yeah.
No, for in most cases, no. Yeah. Now, some people that have journeyed with their spouse that has been dying maybe over a year or two to a terminal illness or what have you, they may go through the stages quicker and be to that accepting stage. But most likely, and I have found believers, most believers will go through the stages a little bit quicker. Again, you can't put time frame on it because they know where their hope lies.
Yeah. I spoke recently with somebody who's written on widowhood, and she said that a widow or widower loses 75% of their friends when they lose their spouse. And I've talked now since to other people who are divorced who say something quite similar. So maybe the person who's in grief wants to isolate themselves, but then they are in some ways being isolated too, because their friends or their circle doesn't know how to talk to them, and they just disappear too. So if you're somebody who's still in contact, right? If you choose to still be in contact, you're saying maybe it's about being with them more than anything that you actually say.
Exactly. And I remember a mentor of mine said this, and I've held on to this. 80% of life is just showing up. Just being there. We don't like to feel uncomfortable because, well, what am I supposed to say? What am I supposed to do? Just be there. Ask them, how you doing? What can I do for you?
Yeah.
Let them talk. Let them share their memories of their loved ones. I think that should happen constantly and year after year. You know, tell me a little bit about it. I want, even if you've heard that story before, share that story again. I want to hear that story because it brings so much healing and joy to the individual, to the spouse that lost their husband or their wife when they share that story.
And so if I understand what you're saying, right, we shouldn't be shy to say the name of the person who's gone or the fact that you've moved. I mean, we can name what it is that hurts them.
Exactly.
Because we're probably more skittish about it than they are. Yeah.
Yeah. They actually want that. To recognize, you know, oh, I was thinking about your husband today and what you know, he had done and the things he said to me. And I just wanted to text you or call you and say, he came to mind. We won't do that because we're afraid we're going to hurt them. That doesn't hurt them. That brings great joy. You remembered. Most people want others to remember their loved one. That's probably one of their greatest fears, that their loved one's going to be forgotten.
Yeah. How might followers of Jesus, Jay, how might followers of Jesus motivate and empower friends and family, whether or not the grieving person also follows Jesus? How can we be there? In addition to showing up, how is it that the Spirit of God living in us might work that out through our lives for those who we love, who are grieving, who believe Jesus, and maybe especially for those who don't?
I think there are some practical ways, of course, you know, not just around the holidays, but we're to serve one another, you know, even if it's making a meal, even if it's shoveling out their driveway or helping clean around the house or even help. This is always the difficult part for a loved one, especially when a spouse has passed away, helping clean out their things from the house. You know, doing some of these practical things and then taking the breaks when they get emotional and just being there. Maybe making a cup of coffee for them and sitting, just giving a listening ear. I also think whether the individual's a believer or not, we need to encourage everyone because this world needs to see that the hope and hope for life eternal is found through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, blessed those who mourn, for they will be comforted, right? Throughout the scriptures, especially the Psalms, we see God's promise for comfort for us. He's our refuge and strength and ever-present help in times of trouble. So helping people, directing them back to God, that they have this loving and good Father who cries with them, who mourns with them, but who also comforts them and gives them strength. That's huge. And of course, praying for them because we all know the power of prayer.
Well, thank you, Jay. You've given us a lot to think about. And I thank you for all the work that you do for others. And I thank you for joining me here on Inside Out.
Thank you, Martha. It's so good to talk with you.
You've been listening to the Family Life Interview Podcast, Inside Out, with my guest, Pastor and Counselor Jay LaScoglia. You'll find a link to Enrich Counseling, where Jay serves as the director, at the same place where you found this podcast, at fln.org/insideout. I'm Martha Manikas Foster with this Family Life Inside Out podcast.